Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Pit Pod from audiotou.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 88 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audiotou.com. With me on the line from Melbourne via Skype, a time-constrained Shelton Muller. How are you?
Time-constrained, yes. Today may be the shortest podcast.
Temporally challenged.
Yes, temporally challenged. There's a temporal anomaly. Today may be the shortest podcast in Shutters Inc. history, but then, of course, that would contrast with last week's, which was probably the longest podcast in Shutters Inc. history. So, yes, time-constrained, everybody, today. So just thought we'd get, you know, down to business, as it were.
For sure.
I don't know, we may have to forego the giggle crap
right.
thing.
And not just, a problem.
Now, first of all, I just wanted to thank all those who've joined the Shutters Inc. Flickr site.
Yeah, and man, that's going off.
It is, it's really terrific.
There's about 30 people on there already.
Yes,
which I think is pretty good for only 2 weeks.
Yes, yes, it is. And, you know, I've joined and, you know, yep. adding pictures and...
Yeah, I've seen you've been throwing up heaps of shots.
Yeah, I thought, you know, great. Well, you know, it's named after us, so we got to do it, Bruce,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
And there's been some really lovely work on there. It's nice to interact with all our listeners on, you know, on that basis too. So, you know, managed to catch up with a few people, so that's really terrific. So if you're not a part of that, get into that already. And, of course, the Flickr site is a great thing to set up as a, you know, your own sort of photo website. It's really easy and, you know, off you go.
Yep.
So do that and keep in touch with us. And, of course, we can see each other's, the bulk of each other's work as per, you know, that which is loaded on Flickr. So that's terrific. But we have, of course, our window light portrait competition running at the moment.
Yep.
And I just thought that what I'd talk about today is how to do one. And that may seem like a fairly
fait accompli. Silly.
Yeah, you just stick it by the window and off you go. But it's a little more to it if they're going to be, you know, successful window light portrait. A lot of portraits, I mean, window light is the most beautiful light, and we have the great masters of, you know, the painters, Rembrandt being probably the, you know, more well-known among those who, you know, are masters of window light. But basically, window light's been used by portrait painters and the early photographers, you know, as the only light that they had. If you look at a portrait taken in the 1800s and even, you know, the 1900s to a large degree in the first few decades, they were all window light studios, which had, you know, blinds and shutters and all sorts of mechanisms that they used to control the light.
I suppose they were a little bit short on softboxes and umbrellas.
Yeah, electronic flash heads and, you know, off wireless TTL. You know, I mean, they'd be just freaking out if they saw what we had, you know, that you can see your picture instantly and then send it to the other side of the world within 30 seconds so that somebody else can see it. They would just flip out, you know, absolutely flip out. But yeah, they window light was what they used, and if you have a look, you know, these portraits are beautiful. You know, Rembrandt paintings are just gorgeous. But there are some secrets to making them work. You don't just put your subject next to a window and take the portrait. One of the greatest problems that I see in a lot of window light portraits is, first of all, that photographers include the window in their portrait. Now, a window in a window light portrait is a big white square distraction.
Yeah.
It's the source of the light, and people think, oh, well, I should show that, you know, she's sitting near the window. No, you shouldn't. Because if you're using studio lighting, you wouldn't include your studio lighting in the shot, would you? You wouldn't sort of say, well, she's sitting next to a softbox, you know, she's sitting next to a thumping big umbrella, because they are just unnecessary distractions. If the window to you is necessary to include, then, you know, fine, but don't think that if you're photographing, you know, from
that you're obliged to.
You're obliged to, yeah. It's not necessary, and it is going to be a distraction. It is a light source, and that's the way it should be treated. The other problem is contrast. If you're in a fairly dark room, the closer, of course, you get to the window, the more contrast you're going to have, often on the dark side of the face, simply because if there's not a lot of light reflecting back from within the room, and that could be, say, in a dark room. A lot of older homes have very dark rooms, older homesteads, stone buildings, etc. They don't have a lot of reflection that comes back from within the room. So sometimes it's a good idea to actually move the subject away from the window, which of course decreases your exposure, but also at the same time decreases contrast and softens it up just a little bit. There's a photographer in Melbourne here, David Williams, and he runs a very successful, very renowned portrait studio. He doesn't have a single electronic flash in the place.
Wow.
Basically, yep, what he's done is he bought the house next door, gutted it, and made it his studio. And so he literally walks, you know, across next door into his studio from his house, and he uses entirely window light. And Fuji recently hired him to provide a series of portraits taken with the Fuji S5 that he did and, you know, presented to all of us. And these images were taken straight out of the S5, as I've discussed on previous podcasts, and printed without any Photoshop to them at all. And they were fabulous. But they were window light portraits. There was no studio at all. And he does all his portraits that way. And it's gorgeous work. But the model, I've been to his studio, and the model is standing a good... often 10 feet from the window.
Wow.
And the lighting, the contrast is just beautiful. And so use proximity to the window as, you know, a means by which you can increase or decrease the contrast on the subject's face. If contrast is what you're after, then that's fine. But if you want to soften it off and make sure that you've got detail both in the bright side and the dark side of the face, then you know, you can use distance from the window as your means to do that. Of course, the other thing that you can do is use a reflector. You can have an assistant hold a reflector or set one up on a stand or a chair or any means by which, you know, you can get some means of reflecting light back. As I said, sometimes a brightly painted room with white walls or cream walls or whatever will naturally reflect light back, but not always. And if you've gone particularly to an old stone building, an old church, you know, of an old barn, sometimes these have the most wonderful ethereal atmospheres, but they have problems with contrast. So you can use a reflector, which could be anything from, of course, one of the bought fold-out reflectors to a piece of white construction cardboard. It can be a white towel, a tablecloth. It can be anything that will reflect light back.
My favorite is the windshield sunshades.
Yep,
they're great.
Windshield sunshades. Yep, get them for $2 down at the $2 shop, yep. And yeah, they do work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And remember, of course, that you can always use a black reflector. Mm-hmm. If indeed you want contrast to darken the dark side, you don't have to reflect light back. You can reflect shadow back. So that's another way of managing, as has often been done in window light studios, the contrast. It's a balance between proximity to the window and reflected light or reflected shadow back on the subject. So use those means to... enhance, perfect your window light portrait. This kind of understanding is very important because you can use it in any portrait lighting situation you come across, whether it's a photograph of your child, a photograph of your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife, or you're doing a wedding. Window light portraits at weddings are they're the money shots. You know, every time I do a beautiful window light portrait of a bride, there is never a failure on, you know, of a comment and purchase, because they just work. They're just gorgeous portraits, and we all think they're so easy to do, but when a photographer executes one it is a selling shot. And so this is why I'm saying window light portraits aren't as easy as we think they are. They actually have, you know, a lot of areas that they can be improved. Then of course there's the pose and the composition. There's two ways, of course, let's say, of posing a bride near a window. A lot of photographers suggest that you pose the bride's bodice, the front of her, away from the window, so that you get greater detail on on the bodice itself. Sometimes if they turn and face the window and you're trying to get exposure for the face, you will burn out the detail in the front of the bride's dress. Mind you, again, proximity comes into play there. If the bride is moved from the window, the contrast shouldn't be that bad and the exposure difference shouldn't be that bad that you will burn it out. But some photographers prefer to turn the bride away from and reflect light back onto the bride's face. That's up to you to decide, but I would suggest that you try both. But either way, I would position my subject at a 45-degree angle, whether they're away from the window or facing the window, a nice 45-degree angle so that they're looking toward the camera. It sort of gives your portrait subject some dimension, some angle, creates three dimensions in the image, and of course is very flattering if to the form, both female and male, because female particularly, it highlights waist, bust, shoulders, and makes, you know, a very shapely figure. In bridal portraiture particularly, you know, that's very handy. Your perspective is also good. I've always preferred, if I can, to have a seated window light portrait so that I can even come up and over and photograph down. If you are photographing a female form, if you're photographing a bride, a girl, it's often very helpful to have the girl look up toward the camera, which stretches the neck, opens the eyes, and is very flattering on the face. So if you were photographing just downward, not at a horrible angle, but just as a gentle angle down on the face, it's much more flattering as well. So if you apply these techniques to your window light portrait, I reckon you'll be able to send in a winner. And that's what we're going to be looking for in a couple of weeks' time, is the winner of our window light portrait, aren't we, Bruce?
Absolutely.
So try these techniques, and of course remember that there are other things that you can apply. There's, you know, softening by means of a diffusion filter or Gaussian blur or whatever technique you use in the computer. There's vignetting can be very, very powerful as a post-process in a window light portrait, or dodging and burning, which highlights the subject. Don't overdo it. But a gentle burning at the edge of a frame, or vignetting at the edge of a frame, naturally draws to the eye to the window lit subject. And you know, you no doubt have a whole bunch of other things that you can do as well. The problem that often arises too with window light portraits is the background. Make sure that there's, you know, no pictures hanging on the wall in the background that sort of jut out of people's heads. Try and have that as unobtrusive as possible. And remember that any window can do. It can be the window in your living room. It can be a window in a barn. It can be a window at an airport. It can be anywhere. Window light is beautiful, provided it's not too harsh. And that's another thing you can do: diffuse the window with the curtains or what do they call that stuff, Bruce? That netting that comes, you know, between the curtain and the window. You know, us blokes, we don't know what to call it, but we know what it is. that can often be used to diffuse the light coming through a window, especially if the light coming through the window is directional. If your window, you know, faces south or north, then you're okay. But if it faces east and west, then one part of the day you're going to get direct sunlight through that window, and it can be very harsh. So often photographers will set up studios so that they have a north or south facing window, so that any light that comes through that window is never directional and only, you know, feathered through the window, so that they have less contrast, more detail, and much softer light. Those are all sorts of things to consider. Where is the window? How is it positioned with regard to the light that's outside, and what kind of light is coming through the window, because not every kind of window light will be as complementary as the other. So consider all of these things as you strive to win our prize. Now, our prize is Corel Paint Shop Pro, the latest version. And
is that 10 or is that 11 now?
Well, it's 11 now.
Right.
Yes, it's 11 now, but I'll keep my mouth closed on that question.
Oh, okay. Right. Nudge, nudge, say no more.
Say no more. So the Corel Paint Shop Pro is a fantastic program. It really is. It has all sorts of one-click fixes that are just fabulous in terms of what it does with black and white. And film effects, and it has all these one-click enhancements that I love. There's one called there's one in the timeline that I use for black and white, and it's, I forget the name of it now. I'll have to tell you next week, but it is absolutely fabulous. Corel Paint Shop Pro has what's called a timeline. Okay. Basically, you click on that, and it will automatically preview your photograph at any stage of photographic development. In other words, it will give you a daguerreotype what your photograph would look like if it was a daguerreotype, what your photo would look like if it was taken at the turn of a century with a Kodak box brownie, your photo would look like if it was taken in the 1930s, what it would look like if it was taken in the swinging 60s.
Oh, wow.
And with one click, and it's got this beautiful black and white setting that is somewhere around the middle, and I forget the name of it and what they call it, but it's gorgeous. It slightly warms the black and white, softens off the contrast. Fabulous. So PaintShop Pro has all these one-click enhancements that are beautiful, but it also is a very fully tooled up, you know, image enhancing suite, and handles RAW, it does high dynamic range, so it's basically anything you would ever need in terms of a photo enhancement suite. It has things Photoshop doesn't do, or it makes a lot of those things much easier. Wow. There's a means by which in the black and white you can actually make your photo black and white, and then you run your cursor over a color wheel. And as you do that, it alters the black and white.
Oh, gives you a duotone.
Yes. Not duotone. No, what it does, as you run your cursor over the color wheel, it basically tells you what the photograph would look like had you placed a color filter over the lens when you took this picture. So it will change the skin tones.
As in black and white, but with a colored filter over it.
With a colored filter. For years, black and white photographers have used colored filters to highlight certain colors or decrease certain colors, or to highlight contrast or decrease contrast in their images. It's been a tool that's been used for a long time. But this tool is enabled in PaintShop Pro, so that all you do is desaturate your image, or maybe it does that for you, I can't remember. And then you simply run your cursor over the color wheel and say, well, I want to heighten the skin tone. I want to, you know, it's just fabulous.
Nice.
So this is what's on offer. In Australia, it's a $200 program, and it's worth every cent. But
fantastic.
Of course, our window light portrait person will win it for nothing. So send in those window light portraits.
So how many weeks do you reckon we should run this for?
Well, I think we're going to need probably at least two or three to get people a chance to do it. So what are we on? We're on 88 now.
Yep.
So what about episode 91?
Okay, we'll announce the winner.
We announce the winner.
Sure.
And that gives everybody a little bit of time now to, you know, get their portraits done.
Yep. Now, I had a thought about this because we've had a few submissions this week already.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the submissions that have come in, you know, people have said, oh, you know, this is something I shot last week, or I shot it last year, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, like, I'm not going to discount the submissions we've already had, but should we say, don't use old shots. Go out and shoot something deliberately for this listener assignment.
Do you think
it makes more sense to send people out and say, use what we've taught you recently in this listener assignment, rather than going back through your archive of shots to find something that fits the bill?
I think so. And what that does is accomplish a couple of things. It means that, one, as you say, they take this advice and go, okay, this is what I will apply.
Yep.
And secondly, it gets people out shooting, which is
Absolutely.
Always a good thing. So, you know, find a subject, find a window and an hour of your time, and off you go. Now, we did a window light podcast several podcasts ago,
right?
Which was possibly a little more extensive, and there may be information on there that I did not include in this speeded up podcast. So have a look back through our archives. Bruce, there have also been some mentions on Shutter Zinc Flickr site and audio to you about continuous problems with downloading Shutter Zinc. How are we going with that?
As far as I know, it's all fixed.
Okay.
As far as I know.
All right. If you continue to have some problems, we really don't want you to have an issue with, you know, having it automatically downloaded or whatever. So let Bruce know, because Bruce is the genius here. I'm not. And, you know, he'll have that all fixed for you. If you need something in the back catalog, such as the one I just mentioned, and you have a hard time finding it, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, mate. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, and sorry for the short podcast. We'll make next week's a couple of hours, eh?
Yeah, okay. All right, mate, well, you have a good week.
Thanks, you too. Hi, everybody, and have a great week. Nice to keep in touch with you.
Yep, and I should, of course, just say, if you want to send us an email, studio@audio2.com for me, or shelton@audio2.com for him.
That's it.
And until next week, take care.
Take care, everyone.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.